There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that skips some days but then doubles up at the end, baby. With me, as always, Lee. Lee, how are you doing?
I don't get any adjectives today.
Oh,
you're tired.
We're doing three of these tonight, and I have wonderful adjectives for you, and then towards the end, not so wonderful.
I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so hi. Wow, it has been a really, you and I, we take a couple of days off to go help a friend with his con, and wow, does Dragon Con blow up?
Yes, it does.
Because we got new guests. We've got Arissa from Defiance is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, she doesn't look anything like Arissa. Because I looked at a real picture. We've got another one of the freaking dwarves from The Hobbit, who's also on the Almighty Johnsons, which is kind of a weird kind of fantasy, urban fantasy show. I can't figure it out because I watched like one or two and I'm like, I can't figure out what this is about. But they don't have powers anymore. So it's kind of urban fantasy. And then, just other things. So it's looking really good. I can't believe, as of today, when we are taping this, it's 22 days.
22 days. So that's just over 3 weeks.
Just over 3 weeks. And I am not the only director because some other directors have emailed me and we've all been kind of chatting, which is all of our schedules have been moved around. So see, people, this is why we don't put schedules up.
But,
because I got C. Thomas Howell.
Oh, nice.
On X-Strike. Yes, nice. He's going to come and do a panel on Grimm.
But there is.
He's a bad, bad Wesson.
I know that everybody gets moved around. Everything.
Yep.
But I think there's like one thing that always seems to happen at the same time, no matter
what. It does always seem to happen at the same time. Huh. But, there's a lot of moving that happens during it.
Oh, that is very true.
There's a lot of moving and shuffling and
what
sweating.
Can we be talking about? I don't know.
I think we're talking about the parade.
What? No way.
No, yes. And you know what?
What?
You are just so lucky. We got Jan, the director of the parade here.
No way.
Way. I know. Isn't it cool?
Jan.
So, hey, Jan.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We really got to work on segues, but that's never going to happen.
Oh, I'd like to have a segue at Dragon Con. Can I have a segue at Dragon Con?
I want a segue. I put it last year down on my wish list as a director that I wanted a segue. Jan deserves a segue. You could then like ride right behind the parade, in your little segue.
I think that would be perfect.
And then you can.
I will take one.
That would be kind of neat.
So, Jan, last year, let's just get right into it. Last year, the route had to change because of construction.
Yep.
What are we doing? What are we doing this year with the route?
We're actually going to stay on the same route we had last year, which worked out really well, I think, for the participants and for the people who come in to watch the parade.
It was very awesome. I think that the because you basically added some more length to the parade, right?
Right. We added about 2 blocks worth of marching space, so that was good.
Yeah, which allowed obviously more people to actually get to the front of the viewing areas, I guess, and see it. So allowed for decrowding some of the areas. Well, there's still a crowd. There, don't get the those of you that didn't go out to the parade. There was still a crowd, but it wasn't as deep this time.
Yeah.
Depends on where you were.
Where you were.
Right. And
it was deep.
Pro tip: towards the start of the parade is actually a lot. It's not as deep. So if you can go out there.
And you'll see this. You can look at it on the schedule, but the parade doesn't start where you think it starts. So you got to go a little bit away, but it's much better. But no, it was when I was trying to get back to the hotel so I could shower. Yeah, it was pretty deep. It was a good 7-8 people deep. It was still deep.
So who?
The Barn escalators weren't working, so I had to climb. I had to step all those big old escalators. Yeah, that was fun. So. Yeah. But yeah, so you're doing the same schedule. You're doing the same route this year. I mean, is it just we think that's better because of the length, or was it just easier to go on and keep doing that same thing? What was kind of the thought process?
Well, actually, it worked out well for us. It worked out well for the city, and we have to negotiate the route basically every year when we put together our parade permit with the city. So. It was a good thing for everyone. So that's why we decided to keep it that way.
I can just tell you where we were setting up and getting people set up was really nice. That was really cool.
Yeah.
So that's and it's a little bit, I mean, it's a little sunnier of a route, but it's a nice route. It's not too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a route map if anyone is interested in seeing it, which is up on the Dragon Con website. And if you go to the website and look under the participate menu and how to be in the parade, when you click on that link, it'll take you to a map of the route itself so people can get familiar with it and figure out where they would like to stand or sit to watch the parade.
Now,
and people, let little people in front of you.
Oh, please do.
Please let the little kids in front of you. I'm not talking little. I'm talking like the little kids that come out. Because those little kids are having the time of their lives seeing, you know,
they 25 are.
Darth Vaders and Teletubbies and other things. They love it. They're so adorable. They get so excited. So, I'm sorry, John. I interrupted you. I did not mean to.
Well, I was going to say, Teletubbies. Were there really Teletubbies?
There have been at some years.
Okay.
Not many.
So this
only
is
only one, I think.
This is what I was gonna ask, which is, so I can still get into the parade, right?
No.
What?
Actually, the parade, we've had to cap the number of participants that we can have in it because it has become really large.
Oh yeah.
And we actually hit that cap the first part of June, so we have to close registration to be in the parade. We open it every year. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and part of the reason for that is not that we don't want more people in the parade, but it's because of how long our permit can be with Atlanta.
Right.
And the number of people is how many people can actually march in the time allotted.
Right. We have time constraints. And to a certain extent, we have some physical limitations too, because when we're setting up the parade, getting ready to launch it out on the street, the area that we have to do that in is finite, so we can only crowd so many people and vehicles into that area and then get them out without incident. So it's a limitation and a time limitation as far as how long we can control the street.
Yep.
And right now, the parade lasts about an hour and a half from start to finish, so we basically have downtown Atlanta all morning long.
Which is kind of cool. I mean, to think about it. That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
And so now, how in the world, because I know you don't do this for a living, how in the world did you get involved with the parade? How did you become the parade director and even involved at all with the Dragon Con and the parade at all?
Actually, I think it was 2004 or 2005. I was looking at the Dragon Con website. And I noticed a friend of mine from the old Atlanta Comics and Fantasy Fair, which I think has been long gone, was actually the parade director, Marilyn Teague. And I hadn't talked to her in years, so I got in contact with her. And we were chatting, and she said, come on down and see what Dragon Con is about. So I did. And I think the first year I only stayed like a day or two and just got hooked on it. So started helping Marilyn with the parade, and then a couple of years after that, Marilyn stepped down, and I took over as the director. So I've been with DragonCon for 10 years now, and I think 6 or 7 of those I've been the parade director. So that's kind of the short story of it.
So when, you may have mentioned this just a second ago, but when did the parade actually start for DragonCon? I mean, what year? Do you remember? Or do you know?
Oh, I think it was, what are we this year? This is the 13th year. So 2001.
Yeah, because I had actually posted up some pictures that I had found from the parade I went to. I couldn't even tell you what year. Actually, I probably could tell you what year if I looked at when they were taken. that's a novel way of
doing it. Can you find that on there?
Yeah. All right. But yeah, there was like only, there's plenty of seating, basically, is what I'm getting at. There was, 10, I think in my photo when I took it, and it was sort of a wider shot and it had the stormtroopers, there may have been 10 people viewing the parade at that time. Now, it's crazy to imagine that now I take that picture, there's likely the same picture. There's likely about 100 people in that photo.
In the shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the one shot. Yeah. It's crazy. It's grown so much. When I first got involved with it, I think we had maybe 300 or 400 people in the parade, possibly a little more than that. And it was more of a just, Marilyn would set up a table at convention registration and kind of recruit people to be in the parade.
Come on, don't you want to be in the parade? You have a pretty costume. Come on, be in the parade. Come on.
And it was like, come on down and be at this area at this time on Saturday morning, and we'll march up Peachtree and go to the Marriott. And but since that time, we've grown tenfold in the amount of people.
Yeah.
We have over 3,000 people on the street now in the parade.
No, I was just saying, I remember when it's vehicles and floats, well, not like kind of floats. I don't know what they are, but, I remember I would consider them a float, but the first year I was a director was the year when we were asked to come down there and kind of help with any setup or anything they need. And cause I was a first year director, I thought everybody meant it. So I did. And I just remember it was nice, but it wasn't big. And then like 2 years later, I'm like, where did all these people come from? Because they were everywhere.
Yeah, more people got interested.
Yes.
More people got interested in being in it. So we kind of had to put a few more little processes in place so we could get everybody in that wanted to be in.
Yeah.
And get information to them now. So. It's become a really big event. I think we are the largest parade in the Southeast. I know we're the largest in Atlanta.
We are the largest in Atlanta. I remember hearing that. We might be other than the only thing I think has got to be close is probably the Savannah St. Patty's Day parade.
Yeah.
Well, okay, you're the largest without drunk people in it.
Only because we're doing it very early.
Oh, yeah. It's in the morning.
We hope so.
We hope so. Because marching intoxicated is probably dangerous for you.
Don't.
It is.
Yeah.
Don't it drink is. And march.
Have you seen the potholes in Atlanta, people? Don't.
Oh, boy.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is the process like? You kind of mentioned it earlier, but what's the process like on getting the permits and negotiating the route and everything? Is it a long, arduous process, or was it originally sort of a difficult process? Now it's just kind of, okay, yeah, here, we know where you're going to be.
The senior director's team actually does the primary negotiations with the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually not privy to a lot of the detail, but we do negotiate it every year. There's a lot of considerations that we have to deal with, which are things like making sure that the streets are clean after we're done, having an appropriate number of Atlanta policemen there, that type of thing. So,
and the reason about those clean streets, people, is why people can't throw things. It's not Mardi Gras. We can't throw beads or candy or anything like that. That's why, is because Atlanta doesn't allow it.
We can hand things to people,
Hand.
That will not hand them, not massively toss, but hand them to people along the route, and things that will not result in trash. So, you know, something that somebody might want to hold on to, especially if you get things to the kids, they like to take their souvenirs with them. And nothing commercial. We don't allow any commercial entries into the parade except for official Dragon Con sponsors.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I assume handing out, like, flyers for your website or even your group is probably not allowed as well, because that will usually become trash. Nobody wants to see your website or join your group. It's just that the majority of the people don't. So
I think typically there's more Chick-fil-A bags and popcorn containers and empty cans of Coke on the street than anything else. We need to be careful with what we do hand out.
Now,
and pick up your trash after yourself, people. Come on, there are trash cans all over downtown Atlanta.
Please do. Two things.
They really are.
Two things. We'll say it again. Let the little guys and the little gals into the front so they can see. You'll see over them anyway, so just let them through. If you see one that's sitting behind you and kind of struggling with their parents or whatever, just offer to let them.
Just let them sit. They'll sit right in front of you, and then they'll squeal and they'll giggle, and you'll enjoy the parade even more because they're enjoying it.
Then I wish what you could do is actually put lines down the sidewalk that said, if you're this height, sit here. If you're stand here. If you're this height, stand here. And then you can just, stagger.
I want that in daily life, John. I don't know what you're talking about. Just in the parade.
And then, of course, the second thing is pick up your trash. Third thing, don't forget your kid.
Right.
Don't leave your kid at the parade.
I have a third thing to add to that while we're talking about that. For spectators, staying on the sidewalk and out of the roadway is very important, because the parade is big. There's a lot of people. They're in bulky costumes sometimes. We also have a lot of large vehicles that don't have a lot of easy maneuvering.
Yeah,
and if you're out of the road, if you're out in the roadway, something might happen, and we don't want that to happen to anybody.
No, so, we love you all.
So let me get a clarification on that. So, like, if a small child is sitting on the curb, is that okay?
That's okay.
Okay, but if they're standing up and they're 2 feet into the road, that is not okay.
That can be dangerous, and what happens as well? The first time somebody goes out, other people follow them. So suddenly we have a bunch of people coming out into the roadway. Right. That's very hard to get the parade by and get it by safely for everybody. So.
Right. And don't
that's
even.
That's why there are barriers. There are barriers along most of the routes.
There are barriers on the intersections across the cross.
Oh, on the intersections. Oh, that's true. Right.
But there are not barriers all the way down the route.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I guess I forget that. I think there are barriers, but it's mostly just people's at this point. We have so many.
We found that good viewing spots now are in the parking garages along the route.
Yeah.
Standing up on the in the floors on the parking garages at the end of it, so you can overlook the street. You don't get
John,
a street
you
view.
John, you were last year? View.
I don't want to tell anybody where I particularly was, because I want that, because it was a nice little spot, because there's only four people up there. And actually, well, the truth is, I was at Hyatt Place, actually, and their garage sits overlooking the staging area. So, but you can't get in there unless you're actually staying at the Hyatt Place, because it's actually a caged or a locked parking area. So I got to see Lee dancing, and I may or may not have footage of said Lee dancing, and I will never tell
you
her.
You said you didn't.
I know what I said.
I can't believe you'd lie to your podcasting partner.
Have you met me?
No.
Yes, I
can. No, Lee is our lady of the bullhorn down there in staging.
They give me a bullhorn. It's so much fun. It's the bestest toy ever.
Okay, so I got to ask you this, and I think I've asked you this before. Why do you give the loudest person you have a bullhorn?
Because it is loud and staging, and even Lee could not be heard above the din.
Oh, I think that she could. If she really wanted to.
But then I can't speak for the rest of the day, and I have work to
do. Oh, on second thought, take that bull. Really, take that bull. I love you, Lee.
Keep it up, you.
I love you, Lee.
22 days. I see you in 20 days. So keep it up.
So you mentioned, some of the good viewing spots are up on, at garages. Mm-hmm. Please be there only if you're allowed to be there. Yes. And don't stand on the cars inside the parking garage for crying out loud. What are you, an animal? Anyway, what are some other spots? And like I said, it looked like towards the beginning of the parade, which is, you know, a little ways down from where the convention is, but I don't think it's any further than going to a little bit past the Wesson. What am I saying Wesson for? No, Wesson. It's just past the Wesson.
It's just Wesson.
Going the, what would that be? I don't know which direction that would be, but towards the beginning of the parade, seemed like there's a fair amount of space available there. Was there any?
There is, and I think that's because it was new for everybody last year, and so many people are used to being in those prime blocks on Peachtree Street between the Hyatt and the Westin, and so now it's kind of spread out. It's nice. We actually start the parade at Spring Street and West Peachtree. And that's a little side street, and it's only for a little short block there, so the parade is really just kind of beginning, so it's, you know, it's not necessarily the best place to see it, and in fact people tend to spill over into our staging area right there at our launch point, and it makes it hard for us to get the parade out on the street, but
and
once
then we call
turn
you
on
names
the-
and make you move.
Oh yeah. But once we turn the Spring Street corner onto Ivan Allen, nice big wide boulevard with nice sidewalks on either side, and the parade really starts rolling then. So that's, and all of that was new, the two blocks on Ivan Allen, and then turning onto Peachtree, and the block or so, block and a half before you get to the Hyatt was the new space for us. So, and this lots of good sidewalk real estate there. So, good places to watch. And then we go down to Andrew Young Boulevard by a Peachtree going south, and then turn down Andrew Young and go to Peachtree Center Avenue, and then turn toward the Marriott. It ends at the Marriott.
That's excellent. So your suggestion is not to go to the very, very beginning because it's really tiny there, but to go sort of just off the turn, the first turn then.
Right. I would not, if I was a spectator, I think some people think it's exciting to see us running around in all of this organized, chaotic way.
It certainly makes good blackmail, but go on.
They may be thrill seekers wanting to be run over by stormtroopers or something, but it's really best if you kind of head toward Ivan Allen.
Yeah. Right, and you just find a spot along the way. I don't know why I'm encouraging people to go towards the area where I'll be, but the idea is that in my mind is that they're going to be way more excited at the very beginning. Then when you get towards the end, they're going to be all exhausted from riding, walking a lot. So let me ask you, because Atlanta can be very, very hot, I think.
Right.
I believe they might call it Hotlanta for a reason. So there's a couple of reasons, actually. But anyway, what would you suggest as far as how spectators and or your parade people, participants, that's the word I'm looking for.
Participants, marchers.
What would you suggest as far as, obviously hydrate, but is there any other way to stay cool in Atlanta that you know of?
I wish I knew of a way. Hydration is the most important thing. In fact, we provide little bottles of water for the participants, every year. And we always seem to run out before everybody can get just one, but we have been doing that. But we suggest that people bring their own water and stick to water rather than something caffeinated or other, because that'll just dehydrate you. If you're, you know, and of course, everybody constructs their costumes differently. If you're wearing something that completely covers you and is heavy, like a fursuit or something like that, if you can build in fans into it, that's great. Carrying a hand fan might help because you can get your own little breeze going. The parade moves fairly quickly, but it's not a marathon or anything. We're not jogging down the road. So you may or may not be on the street for that long if you're in the parade. If you're at the beginning of the parade, you're probably going to be outside for maybe 20 minutes before you hit the Marriott. If you're at the end of the parade, it'll take you an hour and a half, but most of that is standing still in the staging area.
The good thing about the staging area though now is it is kind of shady. It's not that bad. Mm-hmm. Does help with that.
For spectators, hats, umbrellas, those little cool towels that you can buy. As long as you're not, you know, being nice and not blocking people's view if you're holding an umbrella to keep the sun off. But it seems to me that it's more the humidity than the heat that gets people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, just typical things that you would do to stay cool in any sort of humid situation, and keeping yourself hydrated would be the things to do. I can't think of too many specific things. Well, off the top of my head.
Let me ask you, at what time do you actually start staging?
We actually start staging around 7:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. And then it goes, parade launches at 9? Is that what it was?
No, it launches at 10.
10, oh, I was
we asked
really
the
early.
Participants to be there. Yeah, we asked the marchers to be there around 9 because they've got to find their group and get lined up and stuff.
Right. We try to get all the vehicles staged first because we have to get them into position so that we can roll them out as they're integrated into the parade in order. So we try to get them there first, earliest, and then invite the participants to start showing up around 9. You can show up earlier if you want to. But between 9 and 9:30, and we like to have everybody there and in place and ready to go by 9:45. And then once we start at 10 o'clock sharp, everybody rolls out.
Run, run, run!
It takes a little while to get it done, and then the parade team is very happy once the parade is on the street and going. And we're even happier when it's over and everything went off smoothly and nobody got hurt.
Now, I'm knocking on wood now, but what if it's a torrential downpour? What is the parade options then? Do you still go off?
Okay. We have one and only one parade date and time.
Oh, wow.
So the parade goes rain or shine, and what my informal policy is if it's overcast, that's good because that's perfect marching weather.
Mm-hmm.
If it's drizzling, we march. If it's intermittent rain and it's not raining when we're supposed to have the parade, we march. If it's pouring down rain or really dangerous weather conditions, it will be my team and I in my car going down Peachtree, waving at anybody who might be standing there. We wouldn't put anybody in any sort of dangerous position. So the parade would basically, if it was really bad, consistently bad, continued storm type weather or pouring down rain, to, you know, just torrential, like you said, we probably would not have a parade.
Now,
knock on wood right now, John.
Right.
Knock on wood.
I am knocking, and I feel
now, now is the time that we start doing the chant of no rain, no rain, no rain, no rain.
Right, and so. I feel like the sportscaster that, you know, says, oh, he's never thrown a interception in the last 20. Oh, there it goes, interception. I guess I have to ask this question too. Has it ever been called?
It has never rained on the Dragon Con parade. Knocking on wood.
That's both figurative and literal. It has never, it has never rained on the Dragon Con parade.
No, it has not. Even when Katrina was ravaging the southern part of the state, it did not rain on us.
That is true. Yeah, because actually, I was there. That unfortunately, I think we lost a few guests that year just because it was difficult to get around. Yeah, and a lot of people didn't get to make it out because they couldn't draw. Obviously, couldn't. I imagine that the draw for Dragon Con is a lot of folks that are driving in from the southeast, and if you're over in the Alabama or Mississippi area, that's it's a little sketchy. You don't really want to leave your house when that thing's coming down at you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have a question for you, Jim. What has been, when you've been doing the parade all these years, what has been the one thing you've looked at and gone, just that has flabbergasted you in a good way or a bad way, or oh my, as George Takei would say?
Gee, I'm not sure how to answer that or if I should. I mean, every year I'm completely knocked out by the costumes and the quality of the costumes and the presence of the people in the costumes while they're going down the route and their interaction with the crowds of spectators, especially the kids. You know, I mean, people do not cease to amaze me. It's just spectacular sometimes with what's on the street. The only thing that I can say that's really ever disappointed me was we had parade jumpers a couple of years ago, and it was a guy in a Batman suit, I think, and a girl in one of the, like, Party City sexy firefighters uniforms, and they were 9/11 conspiracy theorists, and they had their... And, you know, it was like... No.
Well, along those lines, have you ever had to reject someone because once they got to the parade, you're like, or that's inappropriate, or just not the quality you're expecting?
I physically stopped the truck from being in the parade before.
I think I saw that one because she stood in front of it and like yelled at him and shook her finger.
It was like an 18-wheeler. It was an 18-wheeler with an advertisement on it. And, yeah, so I did that.
Were they actually trying to be in the parade, or was it just an accident?
No, he was trying to be in the parade.
Wow.
It was when we were in our old staging area down by Woodruff Park, and he just rolled up Auburn and was going to slot himself in the parade after the 501st went. And it was like, no. And he said, well, I was told to get in the parade. And it's like, no, you were told wrong. So I've done that. I've had to turn away people when they registered because their costume might not have been appropriate for many different reasons. But I won't go into specifics on that. Parade morning, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. All right, so parade is over. You're done. Yeah. You have done your job.
Yay.
Rest it up because you're exhausted after parade. So what is it you would love to be able to go see on Saturday or Sunday or Monday? Who do you want to go see? What do you want to go see?
Walking through the dealer's room and the exhibitors hall. I would like to catch some of the film fest, but I never seem to do that.
That one's tough.
Haven't seen the schedule yet of panels, so I'm not sure who's doing what when. But one of these days, I'd actually like to attend a panel at Dragon Con.
Oh, you have?
Haven't done that yet.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Wouldn't that be cool?
That's sad. You need to go to a panel.
I need to go to a panel sometime. Yeah.
You need to have a parade of people following you into a panel too.
Mm-hmm.
Start your own little parade.
I could do that.
Own little mini parades all through Dragon Con.
I don't know if I'd want to do that. I'm not sure there would be room for that all through Dragon Con. But yeah.
Well, let me ask my last question. And actually, this one's going to be, I don't know how easy it would be, but if you couldn't do the parade, but you were asked to be, you know, whatever director of whatever track you wanted to, which track most interests you as far as being a director of it? I mean, I'm not saying, by the way, I'm not trying to kick out whoever that director is and say that, but I'm just saying, you know, what fandom most interests you?
What fandom most interests me? Oh, gosh. Anything Joss Whedon does,
mm-hmm.
Marvel Comics, Star Wars, X-Track,
Come on.
Let's see.
He's like, all right, done.
I am unfortunately all over the place. I am not a one fandom person. That's why I love conventions like Dragon Con.
Yay!
Because there's a bunch of stuff to see and do, and I can entertain myself thoroughly at something like Dragon Con.
Awesome.
Well, I'm hoping, you know what I'm hoping for?
Is that
this takes
over the X-Track?
No. I'm hoping to see Sharknado in the parade.
Oh.
We need Sharknado.
Oh, God. Come on.
No.
You know I love Sharknado. You know I love me some Sharknado. Love me some Sharknado.
Now, see, normally I would think that you're just being, if it was anybody else, oh, you're just being a hipster just because it's trendy to like Sharknado. But no.
Nope.
She liked it. She loved all those movies well before that.
I love craptastic movies, and that's why I'm a geek. So yay, woohoo! I have a sharktopus in my bed, in my house right now.
And you said in your bed? So he's in your actual
not bed. In my bed, in my house. In my house. Right. I was about to say bedroom, but it's in my house. It's on my. It's on a bookshelf. I have a sharktopus stuffed. It's cool. I'm a big geek. Wait a minute. So, as always, thank you for being on. We can't wait to see the parade. I know you had said this early on, right before we started. You don't know who's going to be the guest stars in the parade, but they will be announced, so people should keep watching the Twitters and everything else. So that'll be good. And I just can't wait because we're almost there. Yay!
No. Yay! And just one more thing real quickly. We do have a Twitter account. It's Dragon Con Parade. You can follow us there. We have a Facebook community, Dragon Con Parade. We have a Yahoo group community, Dragon Con Parade. I post to the web every now and then. So we have lots of places and the website, the Dragon Con website, that you can get information and keep up to date with what's going on with us.
That's great. And by the way, where can people find you during the parade? Oh, never mind. That's right. Everyone knows where to find you.
Before the parade on Thursday and Friday, we have a check-in table, an information table.
That's a good point.
In the lower level of the Sheraton, and we open it around 10 o'clock on Thursday morning and close it down around 10 o'clock Thursday night. And then open it up again around 9 o'clock on Friday morning and close it around 9 o'clock Friday night. And you can pretty much find me there anytime during those 2 days. And then on Saturday morning, I'm doing the parade. And after that, I hide out, except for when I help out with Young Adult Lit Yule Ball costume contest.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I guess we should. I guess it bears mentioning again in case it wasn't clear earlier. Don't be coming up to the registration or the check-in desk. You shouldn't call it the registration desk, check-in desk, thinking you're going to get in the parade this year because you need to wait till next
year.
Right. Yeah. At this point, you need to wait till next year. Yeah.
If I had my way, I would take anybody who wanted to be in the parade who had a costume and was a member of Dragon Con, but can't take anybody else, so there will be no at convention sign up, no walk ups. We're closed as far as the number of participants that we can have this year, but it's going to be a great parade. We got a lot of good stuff
now
signed up for it.
Yeah, I know we were trying to wrap up, but actually you just said something that made me think of something else, which is...
What a surprise.
I know, right. Is there are no non-members in the parade, correct? You have got to be a Dragon Con member in order to participate, correct?
You must be a Dragon Con member to participate. So yeah, it's not open to the general public to participate in. And
for those
that include,
oh, sorry, go ahead.
Our sponsors and any special guests that we have, of course, are also Dragon Con members. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and for those of you that I know this would be weird that you're listening to this podcast and don't know this already, but maybe you don't. When you buy your badge and you register, you become you're a member for that year's show. And
right.
That's the terminology that is used. So if you're confused, like, oh, I've got to go to a club now. No, that's not it. Although you do become a member of an elite club. So there you go.
You must have a Dragon Con badge.
There you
that
go.
That is good for the year that you are marching in the parade.
That's horribly specific.
One day memberships are fine.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a Saturday only membership that they would need. They don't have to be. They don't have to have a badge that covers the entire weekend.
Oh, okay.
But you must have a valid Dragon Con badge and a fabulous parade wristband, which we give out at the check-in table in order to be in the parade.
And they will figure
out. We really do.
And they will
mm-hmm. look for them.
Yeah, they will figure out a way to get your wristband on you. So don't worry about that. If you're
we are returning to the fabulous hot pink color this year.
Oh.
I'm excited about that.
All right, cool. So
all of our old parade ribbons were hot pink.
Lee loves hot pink.
I do. Yes, I do. That's not a joke. I like hot pink and purple.
Yes.
I do.
All right.
How did you not know that? I do. I don't mind hot pink.
Especially her shorts. She likes to wear hot pink shorts. So,
no, I don't.
Until next time, for Jan and Lee, this is John saying peace.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.